verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So chapter 4, page 1220. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." And chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen."
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to each of us at our point of need today. So take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Last Thursday marked an important festival in the church calendar, but one which is frequently overlooked and even forgotten by many people, simply because I suspect it takes place on a weekday rather than on a Sunday, or because like Christmas we have special celebrations surrounding that particular festival. So last Thursday's festival was the Ascension, and it was that Ascension of Jesus that we've just read about in Acts chapter 1 earlier in the sermon. I often wonder what the disciples were thinking about at various stages in their own ministry, in their own walk with Jesus. We have the benefit of knowing the whole story. We've read the scriptures. We know how the events panned out and what happened next. So for us, there is little or no uncertainty about how the story of the coming of the kingdom is going to move on. But for the disciples, at each stage of their various ministries, it was a new experience. They didn't know what was going to happen next. To Jesus, to themselves, and so they must have had many different thoughts going round in their minds at each step of the way. For example, when Jesus was arrested, they must have wondered, is this the end? Will he be thrown into prison and his ministry brought to an end? When he was crucified, they should be forgiven for thinking once again, that's it. That's definitely the end for him and for us as his followers. It's better be that.
A job. It was good while it lasted. But nothing goes on forever. They were obviously as well confused when he appeared to them in those post-resurrection appearances. Thomas, for example, took quite a bit of convincing that the Jesus they encountered at this time was indeed the Jesus that they had been co-workers with during the course of the past 3 years of ministry. And perhaps as they grew accustomed to being with Jesus once again after the resurrection, they thought that things were getting back to normal. We're going back to how things were, whatever normal was, and that they could get on with their ministry once again. So as we pick up the narrative from the lesson, they had a question for Jesus at this time. Are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel? During their years of working alongside Jesus, they'd often wondered about the kingdom. When would it come? What would their role be within the kingdom? They still really hadn't got it, got what Jesus was all about. In their views, the kingdom was still very much a physical area, and the Messiah, the promised one, would be the one who would come to overthrow the occupying Romans and free them from Roman authority altogether. They didn't get it that the kingdom Jesus spoke about was a spiritual kingdom, which was established and grounded in the hearts of true believers, God's power and presence dwelling in believers in the person of his Holy Spirit, whose own presence and arrival we especially celebrate in the coming week at the Feast of Pentecost. You see, as citizens of Israel, the disciples disliked being under foreign control, and they longed for that day when they would be set free and life could return to normal. So their earnest desire was that Jesus was the one who would set them free, free from occupying forces, free to become their king and ruler in place of the present Roman rulers. They still didn't get it. Jesus replied to their question about the coming of the kingdom, reminding them that God the Father, God his Father, sets the timetable for all events, worldwide, national and personal. And we have to learn to be patient, to wait on God's timetable for all events to occur. He was and is and forever will be in charge, and his timetable is perfect, even though we don't necessarily see it like that. And that's a lesson that all of us need to take on board and put into practice in our own lives, and in all the difficult and challenging situations we can and do find ourselves in. God's timing is perfect, even on those occasions when our own timetable is somewhat different. And when Jesus went on to speak his last words here on earth. Words of promise, words of hope, words of encouragement. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Those words are often called the Great Commission. That commission from Jesus himself to the disciples to take the gospel out to all men eventually. And that task, if you think about it, was entrusted to those who are certainly not the finished article in terms of being evangelists, with their skills finally honed to undertake that task. He promised them power, power from the Holy Spirit, power that is not limited to strength beyond the ordinary, but power that involves courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. And the disciples were certainly going to need all of these gifts and more if they were to fulfill that task effectively. And if we as modern day disciples and witnesses for Jesus Christ have our faith and trust in him, then we too will know that power in our lives as we seek to be the witnesses for him in the situations in which God has placed us. The disciples thought they wanted a leader to set them free from Roman oppression. What they really needed was that power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to be effective witnesses and co-workers in the kingdom of God in the situations where they found themselves. Those words contained absolute certain promises from Jesus. You will receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you power. You will then be witnesses. So often we try and do things in our own strength and in perhaps the reverse order to the way they've just appeared there. We try to witness, and then when we very often don't succeed, we then ask God to help us. What we need to do is to get our work, our witness, in that correct order. Witnessing is not showing what we can do for God. It's showing and telling what God has done for us. So it was important work for those disciples to be about. First of all, near at hand in Jerusalem. Then they were to go a bit further afield to Judea and Samaria. And then, and only then, to the ends of the earth. First of all, to the devout Jews in Jerusalem. Then it was to the mixed race of Samaria. And then it was to the Gentiles in the furthermost areas of the world. Again, going back to what I said earlier, I wonder how the disciples felt at this stage, at this new beginning. Perhaps they were frightened by the sheer enormity of the task, perhaps sceptical about the part that they were expected to play. How will I cope? Perhaps excited and wanting to get on, to make that quick start, to get going and get some results. But if they were wanting to get on, what was the instruction? Wait. Wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And if they were eager to get going, then it's not an easy instruction to receive. Again, with the benefit of knowing the whole story, we know that they had to wait for just 10 days. But as far as they were concerned, when they received those words from Jesus, the time scale was completely open-ended. It could have been 10 weeks, it could have been 10 months, it could have been 10 years. So they were entering a waiting game, not knowing the end result. But as we heard, they did wait. And after saying those words, Jesus was taken from them. He was lifted up in a cloud to return to his Father's right hand in heaven. Was it the end? or was it a new beginning? Again, with the benefit we have of knowing the whole story, we are able to say with absolute confidence that it was that new beginning. And at that point, we read the disciples were met by two angels who proclaimed the message to them, the good news that Jesus would return in the same way as he'd left them bodily and visibly. And when he returns, he comes back as judge of the world when all will be called to give account of their lives. And at this point, the disciples returned, as we heard, to Jerusalem to begin that open-ended period of waiting. And that journey took them, we heard, a day to accomplish. And on arrival back in the city, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, and they were joined by others, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some other women. But did you notice that it also included Jesus' brothers, who's not been particularly mentioned in the ministry of Jesus up to this point? But presumably they've been deeply affected by the resurrection story, and that had been a clincher for them. They waited. And what did they do as they waited? They prayed. In fact, more than that, they prayed constantly. And if there is another lesson that we all need to learn from this passage, it's the absolute necessity of undergirding all we seek to do in God's name in prayer, and not to rely upon our own resources. They prayed constantly. And so that, in a nutshell, is the story of the Ascension. A day not of endings, but of new beginnings. A day that reminds us that God uses the most unlikely of people to further the work of the kingdom. If you think that you can't possibly be of any use in working for God here where he's placed you, then reflect again on this passage of scripture and realize that in so many ways the men charged with that great commission didn't really have too much of a clue about what was required of them. It was a day that reminds us of the importance of underpinning all of our work to God in prayer. A day that reminds us that we don't do this alone, but we will be filled with God's Spirit, and we shouldn't seek to do things in our own strength. And a day that reminds us that so often we need to pause, to wait, and not run headlong into our work and witness for God. That reading from 1 Peter that does remind us very briefly, I'm not going to say much about this, but even when we do wait, and even when we do pray, and even when we seek God's power through his Holy Spirit living and working in us, it's not going to be plain sailing. And we can expect knockbacks, failures, and as we read in that second passage, suffering for the sake of the gospel. But at such times, there is the reminder that we're not working and witnessing for God alone, and we can cast all our anxieties on him, because he cares for us, warts and all. Pray. Wait. Seek God's Holy Spirit and be assured of God's presence in each and every situation we face. All because Jesus has ascended and shares power and authority with his Father. All is well. All will be well because we have that advocate in heaven sitting at God's right hand, the crucified, risen, and now ascended Lord Jesus. To him be the glory. Amen.